Take your Bibles tonight, if you have them, and turn with us to John chapter 17. Gospel of John chapter 17 tonight, and we'll be there in a few moments. Gospel of John chapter 17. And as we kick off our Missions Emphasis Month, I want to try and answer the question, well, why have a missions conference? Why have a missionary emphasis? And what is the purpose behind it? What's the big deal? And especially myself personally, why do I make such a big deal about missions and missionaries and all the rest? And, you know, back when, and it doesn't really matter the church, because every church, when they're in between pastors looking for a new pastor, the church has things they're looking for in a pastor, and the pastor has things that he's looking for in a church, and so on and so forth. And one of the things that Mandy and I look for in a church when the Lord leads us is, where does that church stand on missions? Because both Mandy's church there in Texas, my church there in Philly, we both of our churches, we were heavy supporters of missions and missionaries and missions projects. We, our church in Philly, we supported an organization entitled Forgotten Missionaries International, FMI. And that particular missions organization, they were local national pastors to places like Bangladesh and Pakistan and foreign national pastors. So pastors who were from that part of the country. And we supported them about anywhere from $50 to $75 to $100 a month, full support to those missionaries. And we had, at any given time, 30-some missionaries or 30-some missions projects. And Mandy's church, and then our church in Philly was a little different than Mandy's church. Our church in Philly, I remember our first missions conference, and it was not necessarily a missions conference, but it was a International Sunday. Because our church there in Philly, it had, if you could name the nationality, we probably had someone represented from that particular nationality. And we were known as kind of South Philly's melting pot when it came to churches. And I remember for that particular Sunday, pastor had encouraged all the people. He said, "Now, we're going to have a dinner after the service." Now, that wasn't unusual for us. We like to eat, and we like to fellowship and enjoy one another's company. And he said, "But here's the difference in this dinner." He said, "I want you to bring a dish from your country, from your national heritage, and if you have it, wear your native garb. So if you're from Africa, wear your traditional African garb," and so on and so forth. And so we had a really fun time with that. And I remember that Sunday, we had over 200 people in attendance that Sunday morning. And I mean, there was absolutely no room in the auditorium that Sunday. We had a platform like this, and our choir loft was off to the side. And so we had to put people in the choir loft, had to put people on the platform, on the pews behind where they had to sit just to fit people in the room. And I remember this day, we had some folks from Albania, and they brought a roasted pig. I mean, the full pig, apple in the mouth and all, head on the pig and all. And they brought that for the fellowship dinner. And to this day, I still don't know how they got it downstairs to the fellowship hall. But we had that for that missions day. And then Mandy's church there in Kerrville, you know, how many missionaries did you see? 16 missionaries, and for a church of how many? like 30 people, and
40 in that 8 days.
And one thing we learned very quickly is not every church puts that same emphasis on missions. And, you know, I feel sorry for those type of churches because they're missing out on the blessings of God for not getting involved and getting behind and getting fired up and getting involved in missions and missionaries and all the rest. And so our first church in Kansas, unfortunately, was one of those churches that just did not have a love for missions or missionaries. And the entire time we were there, it was like butting heads to try and get that across, the need for the church to love missionaries. And so then when the Lord was leading us elsewhere, I remember I made a whole list of questions. At the top of the list was, okay, where does the church stand on missionaries? And I remember we went to our church there in Oklahoma, and I remember they were giving us a tour of the building, and we came right in. And as soon as you came in, you had all of these missionaries just lining the walls. And I remember thinking, and I said, well, how many people are in this church? And at the time when we got there, it was about 15 people at the church there in Oklahoma, and they were supporting 22 missionaries. 22 missionaries for that, you know, for a church that size. That's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. And so right there, we kind of knew, okay, this is somewhere where the Lord could really do a work. And and you know, 22 missionaries. And then I was listening to one of the services here a couple months ago, and as I still keep up with the folks there, and Pastor Handy, he was preaching, and he remarked the same thing. He said that he came to preach the first Sunday. It was our last Sunday there, and he had come to preach. He was coming to candidate, and he said he remembered he came in, and he saw, since the time we had gotten there, we had moved the missionaries. And what we did was we took each missionary and we put them around the sanctuary and on the walls. And so that, and my reason for that was so that we could always be surrounded by our missionaries, so we could always be remembered to pray for them and to keep them in our prayers. And he said he came in and he said he couldn't believe it, that a church that size, 15, 20 people, was supporting 21 missionaries. And to this day, and he made the remark, and I agree with him. He said that's one of the reasons why that particular church has been there for 35 years now. They just celebrated their 35th anniversary, is because they put an emphasis, they put a priority on missions. And you can never go wrong by putting a priority on missions. You can never go wrong by putting a priority on missionaries. There's one thing I'll never apologize for, and that's taking care of missionaries. There's one thing I'll never apologize for, and that's having missionaries in. And I have a vision and a goal, you know, that of everything we do around here, that it all goes back to missions. It all goes back to missionaries, because you can't go wrong supporting missionaries. And so why have a missions emphasis? Why have a missions conference? Well, give you some thoughts here, give you some quotes as we start off. Somebody once said this. They said, obey Christ's go, for no way is better. You think about the word gospel tonight, G-O-S-P-E-L. The first two letters make up that first word, go. We ought to go obeying Christ's command, for no way is better. Why have a missions emphasis? Because it personalizes God's commands as well as his promises. David Livingstone once said, nothing earthly will make me give up my work in despair. Someone said, one half of the world's souls have never heard the name of Jesus. C.T. Studd said, I must go. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And so you're there, John chapter 17, and I invite your attention to verse number 23. John chapter 17 and verse number 23. And the Bible tells us this, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And that's what I want us to see tonight, and why have a missions conference, for that simple truth there in the middle, that the world may know. That the world may know. And here in chapter 17 of John, we find this chapter in particular. It's recording for us Jesus' longest prayer. This is His longest prayer in all of the Gospels. This is His longest prayer in all of the Scriptures. And it's often called His high priestly prayer. And it provides for us a very intimate glance, a very intimate glimpse into His heart. And it's here in this prayer, which closes the farewell that began in chapter 13, that Jesus expresses His own concerns, number one, to His Father in verses 1 through 8. But then He turns His concerns to the church, and He turns His concern to the future in verses 9 through 26. And in verse 23 in particular, He says that the world may know. And what He means by that is that if the church will live in the Spirit of God, if the church will seek to reflect God's glory, if the church will seek to reflect God's love, if the church will seek to show unity sustained by a shared knowledge of God, then its testimony will astonish the world. And the world, through the church, might know Him. And so that's what He's saying here in John chapter 17. Turn over, if you would, and we'll be there in a moment. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 tonight. Because these are just some of the truths that are brought to light when a church enters into a missions conference, when a church enters into a missions emphasis. And that is, every gospel preaching church, every church that preaches the gospel, ought to have a sincere desire to win the lost in some form or another. Every church that calls itself a church ought to have that desire to see men and women, boys and girls, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But so often, we are not aware of all the need in all areas of the world as we ought to be. We just don't know. I mean, you would be surprised of how many emails I get on a weekly basis, how many phone calls I get on a weekly basis of missionaries seeking to come in and present their work and present their burden that the Lord has called them to. And a missions conference or a missions emphasis will help shed light on what should be the primary of missions in the Word of God, in the Bible. You know, blessings and success come when both individuals and churches set goals. And the missions conference, the missions emphasis, is an instrument that God uses to encourage the people of God to establish purposes, to establish goals, so that can only be reached through dedication and prayer and sacrifice. And then that's in turn will cause the blessings of God to come upon the church. And not only the missionary supplied, but you think about it, the church is strengthened. The church is in a perpetual state of revival when, when we read missionary letters, or you read the missionary letters that are back there, and you read the people that are saved and baptized and reach through the missionaries we support. Folks, that's fruit to our account because we've had a small part in that work. You know, you think about the missionary tonight, and the missionary is oftentimes a shadowy figure in the church. He's an individual that he's not really well known to the members of the church. He's someone that, yes, the church gives support to, maybe praise for, but the missionary is not really thought of as an important part of the church's program. Some churches, they say, we can take missionaries or we can leave missionaries. By the way, that second, the church ought to never have that attitude. We can just leave them and we don't need mission. No, we need missionaries. Trust me, we need missionaries. But he's shadowy. We don't fully understand it. And oftentimes when we don't understand something, we can't get behind it. And the missions emphasis, the missions conference will help to change this erroneous thinking. Because, yes, I can be up here and talk to you about the importance of missions, but there's something different when a missionary who's going to a foreign field, he comes and he shows us the burden through a video and gives us statistics and shows us what needs to go on and shows us how many people need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior in that part of the world that he's going to. And when that happens, the missionary becomes a person with real needs. And he is someone who is winning the lost just like we are. I remember it was, we had just gotten to the church and there in Oklahoma, and we had some missionaries to the Navajo people in. And Brother John McDaniel and his wife, Miss April, and Brother Bob and Miss Debbie. Most of you know Brother Bob and Miss Debbie. And they've been here a number of times now. And Brother Bob and Miss Debbie, they'd always open their homes up to the missionaries. They loved having missionaries out at their place. And they had this big wooded area, this big backyard and this cave. And the kids who came, they loved it. And so I remember we had Brother John and Miss April. They were staying out there with Brother Bob and Miss Debbie, and we had him in Sunday morning. Brother John taught Sunday school, and he was going to preach the morning service. We were going to have a dinner after the morning service, and this was about November, so we had only been at the church now. We got there in September. Our first Sunday or our first service was September 11th. It was a Wednesday night. I'll never forget that. And so, you know, one of the things they teach you as a young pastor is, they say, don't make any changes within the first year. I never believed in that. I mean, if it needs to be changed, it needs to be changed, and let the chips fall where they may. But you know, I went in and I wasn't trying to ruffle too many feathers. You know, I was trying to get to know them. They were trying to get to know me. And I remember after the morning service, Brother Bob comes up to me and he says, I really like him. I said, well, yeah, I really like him too. And he said, what do you think about taking him on for support? And I said, well, that would be nice. I said, because I didn't know how they did, you know, their procedures or anything and what needed to be done to do anything like that. And I said, well, how do we go about taking them on for support around here? And he said, well, we have a fellowship lunch. I said, yeah. He says, why don't you just go around everybody at the lunch and, you know, very, very, very quietly ask if you think we should take them on for support. So there that afternoon, after I got done eating my lunch, I went around everybody and said, what do you think about taking them on? Oh, yeah, let's take them on for support. And so in the Sunday afternoon service, I called the McDaniels up and I said, you didn't know what was going on, but during lunch we were talking about you. And I said, everybody here is in agreement that we take you on for support as our missionary as our next missionary family. And it's just the way that we did things around there. I remember when the church called us to be their pastor. I asked them, I said, well, now you're going to wait about a week before you take the vote and everything. And so give us some time to get things settled or whatnot. And they said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. And so we went there, we preached, and well, we had another fellowship lunch. And so we left to go home or go back to Kansas, and Mandy had to be at work the next day. So we had an earlier afternoon service, no evening service. And so we're driving, and Brother Bob, he calls him on the phone. And apparently they went back to the fellowship hall after church, and they were going to finish off the leftovers and finish off the dessert. And they said, well, we talked about it, and we want you to come be our pastor. I said, well, what happened to the week's time there? And they said, well, we got to eating and just thought, you know, everyone was in agreement, so here it is. And so we were so excited, we blew through an easy pass or toll road, and so I wound up getting a ticket. But when a missionary comes in, it makes the missionary and the burden real, not just to the missionary, but also to the church and to the church family. And he inspires people to be in prayer more than they ever heard of before. And in turn, the missionary is blessed by the church's fellowship. But not only that, the missions emphasis, the missions conference can be a challenge. You know, young people, kids, teenagers, they need to see that God is in great need of those who will surrender their lives to Him. The world is lost, as Jesus said, and the fields are white in the harvest. It could be that missions conference, that missions emphasis, that the vision is made ever clear. And the prayer of the church ought to be that God will lay the burden on young hearts to surrender to the mission call and surrender to the mission field. You know, as you read your New Testament, you start in Matthew, you go all the way to the book of Revelation, and you'll find very quickly that the New Testament is a missionary book. It has a missionary emphasis. Every author was a foreign missionary. The books were written to mission churches and missionary converts. And the central character is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God. Of Him it was truly said by David Livingstone, God had an only Son, and He made Him a missionary. You're there in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And the book of Acts is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the missionaries. And in Acts chapter 13, we have marked for us the beginning of the first great foreign missionary venture in our age and in this age. And it's from this point on in Acts that the last part of Acts 1:8 is fulfilled. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon me, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And here it is. Here's where our foreign missions program comes from. Witnessing unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so we see tonight that the missionary venture was Spirit-led out of and through a local church. I want you to know several things tonight about missions and missionaries. Number one, the local church is the source of missionaries. The local church is the source of missionaries. Notice there, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, now there were in, look at what it says, in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mason, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And you notice that phrase there in verse number 1. Now there were in the church. And so the church we see is the source of missionaries. This is where missionaries ought to be raised up. This is where missionaries ought to be called. This is where missionaries ought to be sent forth out of. And it is the local church. You'll never find anywhere in Scripture where the Lord gave the empowering of a missionary, the authority of a missionary to a mission board, to a mission agency, to a radio station, to an ecumenical group, to a parachurch organization. It was given to the local New Testament church. The local New Testament church is to be the source of missionaries. But not only that, we see that the local church is to be the sanctuary of prayer. The local church is to be the sanctuary of prayer. Notice there, if you would, verse number 3 in Acts chapter 13. The Bible says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So when the church raises up missionaries and commissions missionaries and sends missionaries out to the field the Lord has called them to, it just doesn't stop there. It just doesn't stop at us sending them monthly support. No, we ought to pray for our missionaries every single month. We ought to pray for our missionaries every single time the Lord brings them to our mind, brings them to our remembrance. I just happened to be watching a funeral service the other day that had popped up on Facebook. I had recognized the name, and my pastor from Philly was part of the service, and so I clicked on it, and he was telling the story of this lady had passed away, and had made mention that in addition to their church supporting missionaries, this dear lady, on her own, outside of the church, separately, because she loved missions and missionaries so much, she had her own 20 missionaries that she supported on her own. And then he made the joke, apparently hit her husband, they were very competitive. So she had her 20 missionaries, and then guess what the husband had? The husband had his 20 missionaries. So between the two of them, outside of the church and outside of the monthly support of missions in the church, they were supporting on a personal basis 40 missionaries. Now that's a love for missions that I could only hope to duplicate. That I could only hope to do. Brother John McDaniel, who we'd taken on for sport there in Cushing. It had also just happened to be a Sunday that Mandy's mom was there. And turns out later on, Mandy's mom, and by the way, Mandy's mom, she doesn't go to church. She doesn't, she always had to work Monday through Saturday. And so she, Sunday, she said she went as a kid, she saved, she knows all that. But Sunday was her only day of rest. But when she came to visit, she came to church. Frankie came to church with her, and who is Mandy's cousin. And it was through that service that Mandy's mom took one of John's prayer cards, and she started sending him monthly support. And then I remember we got a text message about a year later that said, I just upped my missionary support. That's what she said. I just gave my missionary a raise. And, we couldn't help but smile and laugh at that. But, that's what we talk about when we talk about developing a love for missions and for missionaries. But not only monetarily, but praying for them as well. You know, we had so many missionaries come through our church there in Oklahoma. Well, you can't take on every missionary support. There's limited funds, limited resources, but we wanted to. We wanted to take them all on, but what we did, we made a separate wall on one of the bulletin boards, and We took all those missionary prayer cards for any missionary that ever came through our church. And we put their mission, their prayer card up. Because even though we couldn't maybe support them with monetary support, we could support them prayerfully. We could support them with prayer support. And, in some ways, that prayer support is a lot more important than even the monetary support. Because that money, that's going to come and go. But the prayers, that's what makes the difference, is by praying for them. And so we see the local church is to be the sanctuary of prayer. But then thirdly, we see the local church is the supplier of provision. The local church is a supplier of provision. Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, again, you notice the last part of it. The Bible says, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. You know, when we take a missionary on for support, that support is so much more than just that monthly $50 or that prayer support. There'll be times we receive a letter in the mail and they might have a need. How great it is to be able to say, you know what? All right, we're going to send them an extra $50 this month, or we're going to send them an extra $100 this month to meet that need. Why? Because that is the church's job. That is the church's responsibility, is to be the supplier of provision. They ought to never be able to say, oh, you know, that church, it doesn't, they never hear from them, never, and I try my best, stay in touch with all of our missionaries. Make sure that, you know, their needs are met and make sure that they're taken care of. Why? Because that is the local church's job. Right now we've only had one of our missionaries so far here that sent us a letter that said they needed help. And that was our missionary Israel. And so we took up an offering, sent them an offering to help with some with a project there in Israel. We should have that desire to want to do that. When we get a letter and it says, hey, tire went on my van. Well, let's send them $100 for a tire on their van, especially if we have it. You know, take care of them. Why? It's our duty. It's our responsibility. We are to be the supplier of provision. And then fourthly and finally tonight, we see the local church is the sender of missionaries. The local church is the sender of missionaries. Notice there, if you would, verse number 4. The Bible says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so we see the local church is to be the sender of missionaries. We're to raise them up. We're to teach them. We're to commission them. We're to ordain them. And we're to send them out to the fields that God has called them to go. As easy, non-self-denying life will never be one of power. Fruit-bearing involves cross-bearing. And these are not two Christs. An easy-going one for easy-going Christians and a suffering, toiling one for exceptional believers. No, there's only one Christ. And the question tonight is this, as we think about missions and missionaries, is are you willing to abide in Him and thus to bear much fruit? And that's exactly what we do when we support missions. That's exactly what we do when we support missionaries, is we are bearing much fruit. And so this month, starting this Sunday with Brother John and his wife, Miss Lois, as we have these missionaries in and these missionary families, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, open my heart. Lord, open my heart and give me a burden for missions. Give me a burden for missionaries. Help me. Say, I'm not involved in missions right now. Lord, help me to get involved in missions. Help me to seek to be that prayer warrior for them. Help me to be that provider. Help me to be willing to help them wherever it is I'm able to help them. And I guarantee you, if we'll do that, the Lord will bless. And again, I call your attention back. Church of 15 people, 22 missionaries. It can be done. It can be done. And we need to, again, that's why we have. And at the end of the month, we're going to have our faith promise cards. And that's what faith promise is. It's by faith. We're going to step out and support these missionaries. And the missionaries there on the back wall. And, you know, it's by faith that we support them. And guess what? We did the same thing in Oklahoma, did the same thing in Philly. And guess what? Because the Lord was the supplier, not one missionary ever went without with a missed payment. Not one. And it wasn't us. It's never the church. It's always the Lord providing the details. And so let's get that burden for missions. Let's get that burden for missionaries. Let's look to the Lord in prayer tonight, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this night. And Father, we do thank you for the truth and the concept of missions in your word. And the Father, now as we embark on this missions month, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to develop that burden, that love, that heart for your servants, that some of them are giving up the luxuries of this life, luxuries of this country, and leaving family behind, leaving friends behind, because you've placed the burden on their heart to go and reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. And Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to be a church that loves and cares for missions and missionaries. And Father, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, just remember on Sunday, again, we're going to have a combined Sunday school hour here in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. Brother John will be teaching that. We'll have coffee and donuts at 9:30. And as I trust, you'll be here for that. 11 a.m. morning service, and then we'll have a fellowship lunch after the morning service. And if you haven't signed up for that, the sign-up sheet is there on the back. Please do so before you leave tonight. And then we'll be back at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. And then Monday night, 7 p.m. for the Monday night service. And then after the Monday night service, we'll go over to Johnny D's for ice cream fellowship. And so you're all invited to come and join us for that. And so we're excited about it and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do through our Missions Emphasis Month this month. And so that being said, let's go ahead. We'll close with a final hymn tonight. Hymn number 375. Hymn number 375. Work for the Night is Coming. And if you're able, invite you to stand with us as we sing that. Number 375. Work for the Night is Coming. That first, sing it out. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming. When man's work is done, work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming, when man works no more. Work for the night is coming, under
sunset skies, while their pretense are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded, fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Amen. Well, we'll look for you Sunday. 10 a.m., you are dismissed. We love you.